Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So in the New Testament, we have two letters from Paul to the church in Corinth, 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. And 1 Corinthians, a few weeks ago, we heard a little snippet from that. It was that reference from 1 Corinthians 13, the love is patient, love is kind, etc., etc. The one we talked about that you hear at weddings all the time. Does that ring a bell for some of you? Thank you. And you may recall that we talked about how that letter was written to the church. It wasn't written to a couple before they got married or something. It was written to the church. It was written to the churches in Corinth who were in conflict internally. People were disagreeing with each other. And I believe we talked a little bit about how weird that was for us to think about the idea of church people not getting along with each other, because we know that that never happens. The thought that it might have happened 2,000 years ago is shocking. Well, today, in Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, we have conflict again, but the conflict is different. Because this time it isn't about a conflict within the church, it is a conflict between the church in Corinth and Paul himself. You catch the difference there? So in 2 Corinthians, which we're going to be looking at for the next several weeks, the context of this letter is that Paul is writing it to a church with whom he does not have the greatest relationship right now. So instead of the conflict being within the community, the conflict is between the community and its leadership. Before writing this, Paul had visited the church in Corinth. I'm going to just call it the church in Corinth, but it wasn't like one big church. It was a whole bunch of house churches, okay? Lots of little ones. So this letter is directed to them, but it's just easier for me if I just call it the church in Corinth, okay? You follow what I'm saying there? I just don't want you to picture one huge Costco-sized church that everyone in Corinth went to, because that isn't what was happening. So Paul went and he visited and he helped organize these house churches, and he spent a year and a half of his life there. And then after that, he went to a city called Ephesus, which is where we get his letter to the Ephesians. Okay? And then while he's in Ephesus, he starts hearing rumors about things that are going on in Corinth. So he writes a letter to them. It's sometimes called the warning letter. That's promising, isn't it? It's not called the hey, how's it going letter. The just checking in letter. I miss you, hugs and kisses letter. It's the warning letter. And then he writes what we call 1 Corinthians. Then he goes and visits Corinth again. And it goes so-so, because then he writes what we often call the letter of tears, which makes the warning letter sound happy. And then he writes 2 Corinthians. And there are some disagreements amongst various scholars as to the exact details of that, but I just took the time to research that and tell you that, so I'm just going to tell you that. We're going to call that good. But sometime after this second letter is written, things get better. Probably he goes and visits again. If we look at what is said about his travels in the book of Acts, and if we look at what is said in his letter to the Romans, we can put them together and say, okay, it looks like he made a third trip to Corinth. Things were better, and life went on from there. So there was resolution and there was reconciliation between Paul and the church in Corinth. Now, you may have noticed over the years that when you get people together, you frequently get conflict. It happens on occasion in human relationship. It's been known to happen. Now, do any of you have a perfect relationship with maybe your spouse or your kids or your siblings or your friends or other members of your family? My guess is not. Because anytime you get people together, eventually you get conflict. Sometimes it's big, sometimes it's small. You're all grown-ups, or most of you are. You know this. You've experienced this. And what matters the most is not whether or not you have conflict, it's how you deal with it. I have done several weddings in my career. And before I do a wedding, I always meet with a couple a few times to talk and kind of prepare them for the service and go over process and whatnot. And I always approach it with the idea that there is nothing I can say that's going to fix this relationship. You know what I mean? My job is not to try and fix their relationship. My job is to try and point out to them where some things might need to be worked on. Maybe kind of touch base with them about how they communicate. One of the things I love to ask them is when you fight, do you fight fair? And of course, oftentimes they say, well, we never fight. We're perfect and blissful. Smoochy kisses and hugs and stuff. Like, that's great. That's adorable. But when you do fight, because you do, do you fight fair? You know what it means to be passive-aggressive? It's really common in churches. Being passive-aggressive is when we are frustrated about something or upset with something, and rather than just addressing it, we talk around it. Or maybe we hint at it, but in a way that's more meant to make the person feel guilty so they'll just fix it without us having to actually say anything to them. You know what I'm talking about? It's really common, unfortunately, in the church, because in the church we're all told we're supposed to be nice all the time. And so somewhere we decided that being nice meant being passive-aggressive. It's also really common in the Northwest. It's also really common amongst Scandinavians. So as a Scandinavian from the Northwest who's a church person, I feel like I hit the jackpot. If you're into horse racing, the trifecta.
Why?
Why is it common? Well, I could give you theories on that. One theory I've heard about Northern Europeans is because the weather is so cold and you spend so much time in the winter months stuck indoors together, that you start trying to figure out ways to not deal with conflict because you don't want to, like, rock the boat. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's true or not. There's just some theories that I've stumbled across. But regardless, it's really not healthy. Paul is not passive-aggressive. Paul is direct. Paul identifies the conflict between him and the church in Corinth, and he immediately reaches out to them. And over time, because of that, he was able to reconcile, and that relationship was healed. Jesus Christ, not passive-aggressive. You remember the story about him walking into the temple, dealing with the money changers? Wouldn't that read so differently if he walked in and he saw the money changers and he walked over to them and said, oh, so you're changing money today, huh? Yeah, we are. It's what we do. Oh, boy, that's... Huh, I wonder how God would feel about that. I mean, I don't personally have a problem with it. I just wonder if God would. You know. He's my dad and stuff. And I don't want you to feel badly about this. I'm just saying that it's, you know, just a thing. Anyway, have a good day. I'll see you later. He doesn't do that, right? I'm not saying that I want you to go out and start throwing tables over. Although I will say the idea right now that just popped into my head of Irene and Ruth walking into the temple and flipping the tables just made my day. After worship today, we are going to spend some time together doing the business of the church. And we're going to elect our council for the next year, well, starting in July. They take office in July. And the role of the church council is not to run the church. It's not to be the kings and queens of the church. The role of the church council is to be the caretakers of the vision of the church. Does that kind of make sense? They're stewards. But so are the rest of us. We've all been called into that. We've all been called into a relationship together to steward God's mission, to steward how God's gospel is played out from this place, in this community, and beyond it. And so my hope, my prayer for all of us as we go forward from here is that we recognize that what we've been called to do is to support the council and to be mindful of the council and to be in touch with the council and for the council to be in touch with the rest of the congregation. One of the things I hope to see us do this coming year is to be a little better about some of our communication so that people feel that they know what is going on. But at the same time, so that people who don't feel like they know what is going on feel empowered to say, hey, I don't feel like I know what's going on, and I'd like to. Can you please tell me or help me understand how to better understand what's going on? But my biggest hope and my biggest prayer out of all this stuff as we transition from this past year of leadership into the next year is that we keep in mind this idea of respect. That even when he is being direct with the people of Corinth, Paul still respected them. He still respected them as children of God and as fellow workers in God's vineyard. I'm going to go on a slight tangent just for a second. If you want to see an example of how not to do that, just look at our political system someday. We're all on the same team here. At the end of the day, we are all hoping for the same thing. We are all hoping for the ministry of this place to blossom. We are all hoping for this community to be empowered. We are all hoping for a better shoreline and a better Northwest, a better world. And sometimes we disagree about exactly what that looks like or how to get there. But that doesn't mean that any of us are villains. It doesn't mean that any of us are just completely wrong. Well, sometimes. I just want you to keep in mind this afternoon, it'll be this morning, when we leave this part of the room or this part of the building, we transition into our meeting. Be mindful that just because we are not gathering today during worship, as we've done in the past, we are still gathering together as a worshipful body. We are still gathering together in the name of Christ, and we are still working for Christ's glory. So be mindful of that as we listen to this slate of folks who have been willing to offer themselves as servant leaders for the community. And please be thinking about that into the year to come, so that when we have disputes and when we have disagreements or if we have misunderstandings, that we are able to deal with them as mature adults, openly, and I can't believe I'm saying this, even a little bit Paul-like. Let us pray. We thank you, O God, for the ministry of this place, for the people who you have called to be a part of this community. We ask you to bless us as we do the work of the church, to be present with us and help us to feel that presence. Help us to be mindful of the ways in which we may better reflect your love, both amongst ourselves and outside these doors. We pray this trusting in your holy name. Amen.